Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor of Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we open our program this morning, I would like to extend a blessed new year to each one of you and pray that your 2010 would be blessed of the Lord. As we come to God's Word this morning, we turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permits. For it is impossible that those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth, which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you." And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, for both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Thus far the reading of the word of our Lord. May he add his blessing to it. As we open this new year, God presses us forward to the deep things of himself. He reminds us not to turn back, but instead to press forward into the depths of salvation. And so as we look at God's word this morning, we see the theme that we want to see is God calls believers forward to the deep things of himself. Again, God calls believers forward to the deep things of himself. We'll see this in two ways in our passage this morning. First of all, in verses 1 through 8, we see the things that we must already know, looking back. But then looking forward, then we press on in salvation. So first of all, the things we must already know. He reminds us of the foundation, therefore not discussing again the elementary principles of Christ, we read in verse 1. We already must know the foundation of salvation in Jesus Christ. We are to strive forward from that foundation, he says, and this we will do if God permits. We are to strive forward, Hebrews 5 verses 12 through 14 in the end of the previous chapter. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We are, as Christians, to strive forward not just needing the milk, but requiring the solid food. As we look at this passage, we see that Paul lays down before us a number of things that he calls milk here. The baptisms, the layings on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. And he says we're going to move forward beyond those things. First of all, we must understand that baptisms remind us that we have salvation in Jesus Christ alone. And Paul writes that we are not just only to be sufficient in baptisms. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17, Paul writes, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." Paul was not just sent to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And that is what we need, is the salvation, the gospel given to us. And further on, Paul says that the laying on of hands is also a elementary principle. Who are our Christian foregoers? These reference to us the election of church officers. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership." This was part of his induction into the office of being a pastor. And so these are elementary principles. The resurrection of the dead. Again, an elementary principle that our culture denies. Acts 17:31, "Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to us all by raising him from the dead." And again, of eternal judgment. Acts 24, verse 25, "And he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. And Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now, and when I have a convenient time, I will call you.'" Sadly, nowadays, even these things aren't even considered. These are the elementary principles, the writer of the Hebrews writes. We are to have them down pat and continue on to living and to the many great things that the writer to the Hebrews explains for us in the book of Hebrews. We are to be careful not to turn back. Now, verses 4 through 6, there's much that could be said on that. But we must let clearer scripture interpret that which is less clear here. The main thrust of what the author is saying is that some will fall away, turning back. And John states that they were never really believers. 1 John 2, verse 19, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that none of them were of us. For it is impossible that those who were once enlightened," we read in verse 4 and following, "and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame." Notice, though, as we continue through God's word here, that God cultivates the world. We read a dual picture here. The earth with rain and bearing herbs and bearing fruit, receiving a blessing, and the bearing of bad fruit and being cursed and receiving hell, whose end is to be burned. Jesus says in Luke 6, verses 43 through 45, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit, for men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks." And so we are to see these as the foundations of our faith, those things which we must already know. And so we must press forward to the things that accompany salvation. We must rely upon God's promises. We must see the anchor of our souls. And so we turn to verses 9 through 20. And so we are to look for the things that accompany salvation. The writer to the Hebrews writes that he is confident in believers. Verse 9, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you." Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. Better things that accompany salvation, not what we've been just looking at, turning back and evil fruit, but instead a labor of love in salvation. We read in verse 10, "For God is not unjust to forget your works and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Better things. A ministering to the saints for the service of God. We read in Hebrews 10, verse 32 through 34, an explanation of this, but recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle by both reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Notice that the writer to the Hebrews writes to this person concerning their allowing him to use their goods for the service of God's kingdom, for the extension of it. Notice that they have a diligence to a full assurance of hope, we read in verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. We are to have that diligence. We read in Colossians 2, verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and of Christ. We are not to be sluggish in this. In fact, we, as we have said, are to be pressing forward in it. We read, through faith and patience to inherit the promises, Hebrews 10, verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We are to rely upon God's promises, as Abraham did. We are reminded of Abraham and God's promise, God's swearing to him by himself in verse 13, saying, surely I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And we are reminded, as Abraham did, to hold fast to those promises, Genesis 22, verses 16 and 17. And he said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. This promise is based on God's very existence. We read in verse 17, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Christ, God, swears by himself, and he cannot lie. We see that we are to trust in our Lord, our Savior. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For he has fulfilled that which he promised, bringing eternal life. And so we have an anchor. The anchor of the soul, verse 19, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Again, Hebrews 8, verse 1. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And so, as Christians in the new year, let us press forward, not lying back, being comfortable with milk, but instead pressing forward into the meat of the gospel, holding fast the salvation once delivered to the saints. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning on Start the Week. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness, including an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail at Salem Reformed Church, Post Office Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be glad to send it to you. If you have any questions concerning the Bible or in general, or about anything we cover on Start the Week, please contact us. We invite you to join us at the Salem Reformed Church in Ashley, North Dakota, at 209 First Avenue Southwest. If Ashley is too far away, we have churches of the Reformed Church in the United States, in Minot and Anamosa, North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, and in Hamburg and Golden Valley in Minnesota. We would like to invite those in Jamestown, North Dakota area to Bible studies being held at the Gladstone Inn and Suites. That's just north of downtown Jamestown at 111 2nd Street Northeast. These will be on Sunday evenings at 6:30 p.m., beginning on the 10th of January. Again, if you have any questions, that number is 701-288-3265. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church wish you the joy of knowing God this week and forever.